Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
No!
The Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump.
With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
This microphone week. Put up a little less fight than the one last night.
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Oh,
Mr. Dot Commer
on WEEI.com.
The Off Day Podcast, and now that we're a week into Patriots training camp, Cam Newton's the starting quarterback, right? We're done with this quarterback competition.
That's where I would be at this point. I'm reading people like you from Sunday's workout saying it was his most extensive and productive best day. He's working with Julian Edelman. Edelman did his Zoom after practice and was talking about building a rapport with Cam. And then you marry this up with the fact that Jarrett Stidham has missed practices or been limited in practices because of a apparent hip/groin injury that sent him to the hospital reportedly that is minor but could take a couple weeks till he gets back to 100%. I would say the competition is over. Cam Newton will be the quarterback on September 13th. Prove me wrong.
I'm in full agreement with you. I think that even though Newton, like today, wasn't his best practice by any means, missed a lot of guys, and the hurry-up offense seemed a little, I don't want to say behind, but you could you could tell he didn't really know what he was fully doing, missed some throws there probably because he wasn't sure of himself. So. But as I wrote my report today, like, he's going to have those days. Like, you can't expect every day to be perfect. And so as long as he continues to build each and every day, there's no reason why he won't be the starter week one. And then add into the fact that Jarrett Stidham, his, you know, competition is, you know, limited in his action. I think everything's trending towards there really not being a competition at all.
Yeah, I've said this a few times on the radio. Nothing that's happened over the first, whatever, I guess, little over a week now of training camp has dissuaded me from the idea that Cam Newton is the starter, is going to win the starting job. Like, even the reports that all you guys had, like, never any bad days, never any horrific, like, no. Wow, he shouldn't be – like, and then some decent days, some good throws. First and foremost, we've talked about it, he looks healthy. There's no arm issue. There's no foot issue. And then you have Jed Fish, which is a separate issue we can talk about a little bit later. But Jed Fish – filling in for Jarrett Stidham on our WEEI Greg Hill Show interview this morning. Very praiseful of Cam Newton in terms of the mental, the physical, the energy, reset, you know, treats recess when he's out there and having fun.
How genuine and, he is.
Yeah, I'd like to have somebody show me the example of what leads you to believe this competition is still open.
A thing? Yeah.
Yeah, like –
Well, like, I think it was on SportsCenter this weekend. Jeremy Fowler tried to make a case that Brian Hoyer is still in the mix.
Ugh.
Yeah. So I don't know if he's tight with Brian Hoyer's agent or something like
now,
that.
Now, I will say, is there a chance that if Stidham is limited for an extended time that Brian Hoyer's the legitimate backup, you go into the opening day game, that if something happens to Newton, Hoyer comes in?
Potentially. I will say, like, watching the practices, Hoyer is the most, like, confident of the three. Like, he knows the system best. Like, when he gets to the line, he knows what everybody's supposed to do. You can just tell by the way he calls out the plays and calls out the cadence and all that stuff. He's confident in how that stuff works. But I don't think that's enough. I mean, if Stidham's fully healthy, I think he'd be the backup.
I agree. So another example of why we can talk about this at a later date, Brian Hoyer will be the Patriots quarterbacks coach next year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll save that thought for you. You have something else to get to me to that point. Yes.
Yes, but no, Cam Newton is the story of camp. He would be a bigger story if this weren't the Patriots, if he were available, for example, if he had done the Monday morning interview on the Greg Hill show for our station today, which he could have because last week was Brian Hoyer. This week it was scheduled to be Stidham, was actually confirmed as of Friday that it was going to be Stidham, and then he's missing practice time, so he's out. But if it had been Cam Newton, I think people would be more on board with the idea that he's the star, he's the starter, right, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But the way they handle things, it's sort of quietly just sort of percolating along, but I think the Dolphins will face Cam Newton.
Did you have any questions about the Stidham injury, how it was like reported, timing, things like that?
Well, do you mean in terms of maybe – yes. I mean, the answer is yes. I don't know what to make of it, but I've always gone by the rule. If something smells a little funky, A, don't eat it, and B, it's a little funky. And I think this smells a little funky. Shared some questions, texts, ideas with various people. Some thought it was just a way to conveniently ramp up Cam Newton, conveniently push him in a direction. I also posed the idea because Josh McDaniels, what was the timeline here? Was that was Friday, Josh McDaniels, the assistant coaches were available. Stidham was hurt. Stidham had been to the hospital reportedly the night before, was very limited, but was on the practice field. And Josh was asked about it and said he'll be ready to roll when we're back out there on Sunday. They had an off day on Saturday.
Yep.
I thought that was weird, like, to just
say it
so definitively. So,
well, and he also said at the beginning of the answer that Bill kept him off the field.
Yes. So that whole thing was weird to me. But then also it felt like, if you remember, there was a whole span of time where I think Scott Zolak and others were questioning Jimmy Garoppolo's
toughness. Yeah, it was the AC joint.
Yes.
When he could have questioning, they thought he could have come back sooner than whatever it was, 4 weeks.
Right. So questioning his toughness, his physicality, his play-through-itiveness, or whatever you want to call it. Whatever Tom Brady had, by the way, because Tom Brady always played. We know that. Right. Tom Brady played. His thumb popped through his skin. He played. Bill took a little snide remark. Nobody died. But, you know, that was Tom Brady. I wonder if there's something here to the effect of, oh, you're going to be out there. In fact, maybe Stidham heard for the first time that he was practicing on Sunday via the social media and reports that Josh McDaniels had said, quote, he'll be ready to roll.
Well, if we're being honest, he didn't really do much more Sunday than he did Friday.
No, but my point is I think they're trying to pressure him into, I say it all the time, are you hurt or are you injured? Because everybody's hurt, but not everybody's injured. Guys are out there playing hurt, practicing hurt, and I wonder if there's something going on here in terms of they're still developing Stidham. He may still be the quarterback of the future. This could be one and done Cam, and they're molding him, figuring out, is he tough enough? Is he the right guy? Is that makeup there? Which, you know, if they questioned it in Garoppolo, and we're to believe that Bill loved Garoppolo, right? He kept texting him.
And of course, this is on the table with Jared Stidham.
Right. And so there's a little bit, you know, what do we have here? How tough is he? How does it affect him? Who knows? Maybe they leaked out injury stuff from the trip to the hospital to see how he would react to being sort of at the center of an injury.
Yeah,
an injury controversy.
Well, if that was the case, then wouldn't you throw him on the radio?
No.
Well, the other thing was he was also scheduled to speak with us today. That was in the tentative plans like a week ago.
Right, but they also have consistent rules. If you don't practice, you don't talk to the media.
Right. He was clearly limited, so he doesn't like.
Actually, F that. Throw that out. Was Edelman limited on practice on Thursday, and then he talked to the Greg Hill show on Friday?
Yes.
So you can do whatever you want with those goddamn rules.
Right.
So I do think, A, Cam Newton's the starter. B, it bears watching how Jarrett Stidham's health is, how he's managed, how he's pushed, not pushed. Now it's hard because we have no preseason games.
Right.
Not even sure you're gonna have scrimmages because Bill seems like the team would be overwhelmed if they made him scrimmage.
Yeah, we can maybe get to that later. I thought his comments today were interesting on that.
Interesting, curious, and concerning, I would say. But yes, we can get to that.
Yeah.
So I think there's maybe more to this than just sort of the first glance would lead you to believe.
Right.
I don't know that I have a fully, what do they call it, a take? Fully thought out.
Developed take. Yeah.
yeah, it's kind of still in the process. But yeah, I think it's interesting. But the bottom line is, I don't know that it matters for September 13th because it's Cam Newton.
Right.
Another guy, second-year guy that's been injured, N'Keal Harry. He missed three practices last week, was back out there on Sunday, had a rough practice, even had to tap out at the end of 11-on-11 drills. But then came back today, Monday, and had probably his best practice of the summer, making two touchdown catches. Had another moment where he showed off his intensity, getting into a spat with a defensive cornerback, Michael Jackson, after a blocking drill. And just, I thought it was his best day and a good sign that he's sort of there in terms of making plays.
And what did he do yesterday?
Nothing. Had a fumble, dropped pass, tapped himself out of 11-on-11, just seemed gassed, a little overwhelmed at times. So it was a good bounce back day.
Do you think that's a coincidence, or you think he got maybe a tongue lashing, a spoken to, and like, crap or get off the pot? I mean, you need to either prove it's similar to Stidham a little bit.
Did you catch Edelman's comments when he was asked about the receiver group as a whole on Sunday, and he didn't name N'Keal Harry at all?
I did notice that.
So maybe I'm not saying that was the case, but it could be. Maybe Harry saw that and said, you know, I'm here too, bud.
Is it a little too convenient that the day after, first of all, he misses time, then he returns but doesn't really return, sucks. People, idiots like Ryan Hannibal are writing, where is N'Keal Harry? What's going on with N'Keal Harry? All across the web, right? Talk radio. I even said on Friday, I thought the entire day of concern was misplaced. Your backup quarterback's missing. I don't care. Your number one pick wide receiver continues to disappear, be a bad story. You know, what's going on here? Maybe he got a, like, what are we doing here? Like, this is big boy. You can't tap out of every practice. Because you remember, it didn't get a lot of press. That was an issue a year ago. Little teeny, like.
I said it, too, on the radio today. It was like every day it'd be one or two times where he's on a knee. He's slow to get up. He's talking to the trainer.
So I think that it's a little too convenient for me that today all the blogs and Touchdown Twins and everybody got to say, oh, best practice ever for N'Keal Harry. He looks great. He's doing this. Yeah, it's a little – it's almost like it's packaged. It's almost like it's scripted. So it's great. Don't get me wrong. Because if this team is going to have anything offensively in the passing game, they need him to be something. They're not going to live with Gunnar Olszewski and Devin Ross and –
Damian Bird. Damian Bird earlier.
Whatever. I'll learn his name when he's relevant.
Yeah.
Which I heard a number. 6 interceptions have been targeting him.
I don't keep track of those stats, as you know. But I would say probably that's because he runs a lot of deep routes, and a lot of the interceptions have been on underthrown deep balls. So okay, maybe that's it.
I mean, that's got to be – how many interceptions you think there have been total? I don't need an exact number, but
– 12. 15.
So half the interceptions are to him on – I just – that kind of was interesting to me. But N'Keal Harry, you know my feelings on him. I have doubts. And my bigger picture doubt is before today, and we can talk about today maybe a little separately, the story of N'Keal Harry from last year to this year was he worked hard in the offseason. He stopped lifting. He lost a little weight. He's, you know, worked with the footwork king. He's supposed to be quicker. But I didn't hear anybody talk about the results of that early in camp. Like, oh, he looks like a different guy, how quick he is. He's blowing people. Like, no.
Because it wasn't the case. I mean, he was just kind of.
Isn't that bad?
Yeah. I mean, I think people like me equated it to not getting the chance to make any plays. But if you're a first-round pick, you should be making plays on your own, not like, you know, getting the ball thrown to you to make a play.
And I don't even – yeah, like my point is I don't care about the plays necessarily. I wish somebody had blogged, whew, first day of practice, first thing you notice how quick N'Keal Harry looks.
That kind of brings me to my guy Gunner. Like, that stood out with him, like his quickness and his – like how different he looked. Where you should be getting that from a first-round pick, not a guy that played Division II, Panigi State, was a cornerback.
I brought that up actually today on our show, Dale and Keith, that was the immediate reaction to Gunner. Now, he came from a much different place. He was a ball boy a year ago. We've talked about it. Not disrespectfully, he just looked out of place. So he had the easiest jump to make to look like an NFL receiver after a year in the system. But I just wish the story had at some point extended from N'Keal Harry worked hard in the offseason to the hard work N'Keal Harry put in the offseason is obvious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Now, maybe that started today, and maybe that'll snowball tomorrow into the next workout, and we, you know, we'll be talking more about that, because I don't think it's an extreme opinion to say after Cam Newton, he's the most important offensive player, like, to affect the season. Like,
maybe, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because if Julian Edelman's the only guy you have, you're porked.
Well, so, I mean, just from watching these practices, I think the running game is going to be more involved than it's ever been before. And I'm not just talking about running the ball. Just we've seen a lot of plays designed for running backs to get the ball into space, like these screen plays, like some misdirections. Like, I think Damon Harris is going to surprise people. I mean, maybe it's just because Michelle and Lamar Miller have been out and he's been getting a lot of chances, but he's made some cuts that Michelle can't make. Like, he's, like, stood out more than Michelle ever had in a training camp practice.
See, this is where I really come to regret that I can't go to training camp, because I listened to Tom Curran, and he says he's a jag. He has no lateral quickness. There's no explosion.
Who?
Damian Harris.
That's not the case.
And then I hear you, and you're basically saying the exact opposite. And to be fair, most people are on your side. Like, I know Mike Reese was asked on our OMF show last Friday.
Yep.
RB1. That's what Damian Harris looks like, RB1. So I'm interested to see him. I just wish I had my own visualizations to fall back on.
Right.
I like Damian Harris. And the bigger issue is you don't have anything else better than him.
Like, no.
I'm ready for him to get a chance now. Maybe I was ready before most people last October for him to get a chance. But he looks good enough to get a chance, I think, would be a way to phrase,
like,
right?
You know, like, Rex Burkhead makes those cuts, like, that he, like, he's known, like, I picture more of Harris like Rex Burkhead than I do Sony Michel.
And unlike Rex Burkhead, who we all say might be the most all-around talented, productive back, because he can run, he can catch, he can do everything, we don't know if Damian Harris is durable or not at the NFL level, right?
You
can find that out if he gets the opportunities, which I would like to see him get. So Damian Harris is going to be one of those guys coming out of camp, because he's going to make the team.
Oh, no. Like,
you know, Devin Ross, Demir Byrd, some of those guys might not make the team, and they're kind of camp stories right now. Damian Harris is going to be a story in camp, and he's going to be a story in week 1, 2, 3 moving forward, what he is for this team. And maybe he's part of what changes the offense. Maybe he's part of, like, a group effort that, you know, I said N'Keal Harry might be the most important guy not named Cam Newton, but if Damian Harris is an impact runner, like, I don't know what that is. That, I'm not saying he has to.
I don't know if it's necessarily Damian Harris. Maybe the combination of Harris, Burkhead, White, Michelle, is healthy, that group.
And we've lusted after for years here, whether it's White and Burkhead or Michelle and Burkhead, like a two-back sets and different sets where maybe you get some matchups. And I would say maybe those become even more challenging with Cam Newton and rolling pockets and little flares out into the flat where it's sort of he's attacking the line of scrimmage and he can dump it off or he can run and you put a linebacker or a safety sort of in a no man's land between, am I covering the running back or am I coming up? If I come up, does Cam just flick it over my head for a nice play to the running back? And, yeah, you took some grief on Twitter, fanboy, for don't ever compare Tom Brady to this offense or Cam Newton. And people just can't read. They can't comprehend.
Oh, that was basically saying they've been calling running plays. I'm trying to work around the language. Like,
exactly. But people are too stupid to know what you're saying. Like, that was
not taught at Tom Brady.
I don't always defend you. Sometimes you're worthy of criticism, but that was one where you were unfairly criticized by some people on Twitter. So screw them.
Another big story that I guess could develop into a big story, Stephon Gilmore has been at practice for, I think today's the fourth straight practice, maybe fifth straight practice. Karen Garrigan of the Herald said it's a personal matter. What should we make of it? Do you think this is a big thing? Could it be a story? Could it just be a family thing? What do you think?
I don't think it's anything. And certainly I trust Karen as much as just about, probably as much as any reporter in Boston. I trust Karen.
Karen, so, is, yeah, I would say so.
I would put Karen at the top of my list. So Tom Curran tweeted about and sort of insinuated that it could be a contract thing, that he doesn't have guaranteed money and that finance, like, I'm always for a good, you know, salacious story or whatever, but I just don't really see it.
I don't either, because he was out there last week. And before that, when the Patriots.com guys were there, he was on the field then too. So if this was a holdout situation, why did he wait until day 7 of training?
And yeah, it just doesn't really make any sense to me. He can be fined. It's going to cost him money. Are you trying to bully the Patriots? Is your end game a trade? Like, what would the whole
– yeah.
Because Ben Volen floated the idea that Gilmore could be traded a while ago, late July.
Yeah. But I look at this defense, and if you don't have Stephon Gilmore, like, you're – that all of a sudden cornerback kind of becomes a question of it's not the best – position on the team anymore. It still could go one way or the other.
Well, it's what I've asked for a while. Let's see JC Jackson when he has to be the number one corner. Let's see how that plays out with all these stat services, PFFs, that rank him as the second best coverage corner, blah, blah, blah. Let's see what happens when he's number one. But I don't really see it. I mean, hell, if anything were to make more sense, wouldn't like Corona make more sense? Like,
well, that's kind of what I was just thinking. Like, if it was something like that, like a family member potentially could have it, something like that. Yeah.
And like, he's not on the, like, he's not tested, which, by the way, the Patriots were involved in that whole flurry of
false positive
tests by the New Jersey laboratory. But like, in this, for right now, I just can't get the dots to all align to make.
Well, like that. I said to you off air, like, if he really was holding out, wouldn't his agent or somebody with him make it known that he's holding out? Isn't that the whole purpose of not being there?
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance it's money-related or a holdout. Now, I will say, I said this on our air, the Lawrence guy little bump in money.
Yep.
That would be a Belichickian response to a player holding out. Oh, you want to hold out? I'm going to give a raise to a guy who's here doing his damn job, who's also a reliable veteran player for me in Lawrence guy. That would be a little message sent, but
what we know of Stephon Gilmore doesn't really seem like that type.
He doesn't, but you know, I joked he's so quiet that maybe his holdouts would be the most quiet holdout. No one would really know it's a holdout, right?
True, but the guy does most of his, like, he kind of comes with these one-liners after games. They're like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Yeah, and like whispers it or like tweets it subtly, and then you read it and you're like, wait a minute, he's being a cocky SOB in that tweet.
Right.
Like, could he actually be holding out, like, whispering style? I mean, again, I don't buy it. We've spent more time on this than I think it really deserves, but
I mean, the defensive player of the year has been at practice in 5 days with a, quote, personal matter, so it's worth discussing.
And at what point, even if it's a personal matter, what point do you worry? Now, his track record is what it is. We're still a long ways away before I would say, is he going to be ready for opening day? Like, I don't – but, I mean, you just – it's not ideal. I always throw that phrase out. It's not ideal. You'd rather have him out there. Now, maybe Bill has full comfort. Maybe Bill knows exactly what it is, exactly when he'll be back. Because that's the other thing. For us, it seems like a long time. But Bill may have known immediately Stephon Gilmore is going to miss 7 days to a personal issue.
Right.
So, if you're Bill – there's nothing to worry about. Nope. I knew it was going to be 7 days. It's
right. We factored this in. It's no big deal. We'll move on. He's back. Yeah.
So I'm a lot more worried about the quarterback position, N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver position, all of these other things that are sort of balls that are up. Bo Allen. I'm way more worried about Bo Allen than I am Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah. And especially at that position, that's kind of not very deep. And we actually about talking with the state of practice. Why isn't he on PUP? I know that really it doesn't mean anything, but like Lamar Miller and Sony Michel, who have known injuries, are on PUP. Why isn't Bone Allen on PUP?
I mean, that would lead you to believe he passed his physical when he arrived.
The injury could have happened after that?
Could have happened in the conditioning run. He pulled a hammy or he did something in the conditioning run. And then when, you know, that it would lead me to believe he passed his physical and was ready to go when he arrived.
Right.
What it would lead me to believe, because to be on PUP, you have to be physically unable to perform. You have to be failure physical, essentially.
Right. So I guess that could make sense. The injury happened after he passed the physical or whatever, during it. But again, that's the bigger point is that position needs help, I think. Needs Bo Allen to be healthy, and if he's not, it needs some help.
Right. And they signed Barrett. Is that his name?
Yeah, Michael Barrett. Yeah.
Right. So they're adding bodies there, but I mean, you're adding bodies at this point that our bodies. There's a reason.
Yeah, just to basically fill out the training camp roster, not to play week one.
But I'll tell you who I think it really helps is Byron Coward.
Yep, certainly does.
I mean, I don't know a ton about him. He was here all of last year, didn't play much, but he's a guy by
right, exactly.
So it helps him. Otherwise,
also helps your guy, Adam Butler, probably play more.
I don't know. He really only plays on passing downs. He considers himself more of a passing down player. So
that's gonna be one of your growing. I think that's always gonna be gripe. Maybe he'll be a Patriots Monday guest.
I would love to chat with him. Ask him if he's evolved as a run stopper, because you pretty much were hands off when the Titans were running all over you last year. Have you tried to work on that area?
He had a good practice today. A lot of the defensive linemen did towards the end. They got through the offensive line. Dedrick Wise had a sack. Chase Winovich had two sacks. And that sort of got the defense, going after drawing with Cam Newton, basically kind of, because Newton's been the loud guy, energetic guy, and they finally had a chance to give it back to him. And I thought that was, notable.
How much confidence do you have in that pass rush? If you're going to lean on – yeah, because I don't either.
Not
It feels like you're going to lean on Winovich, definitely.
Who I'm not big on.
I really am not either.
He was fine last year as a rookie, but I don't see I think what you got last year is probably what you're going to get, which isn't bad. I'm not saying it's a bust, but it's not like a dependable pass rusher that's going to get, 9-10 sacks.
No, it's – I feel like Butler, Winovich, there's a lot of scheme involved, or – they need other players to feed off of, and less of those players are around.
Well, I mean, the two rookies, Anthony Jennings and Josh Uche, who are pretty involved over the first week, I don't know how much you can count on from them either. They could make impacts, but not like a sizable one.
Right. Especially, I mean, certainly with Uche, a guy who didn't make a sizable impact till later in his college career. Now suddenly he's making the jump to the NFL and it's going to be an instant impact. So I think that's an area that defensive front is a major area of concern. Like you say, you think the Patriots are going to run the ball, throw the ball to backs, do all those things. There's a chance the opponent's doing the same thing, running at you, using short passes and taking advantage of maybe linebackers like Uche who aren't overly comfortable in coverage.
Right.
Even your best linebacker now is Juwan Bentley. I don't know how good a coverage matchup he's going to be.
Correct.
What have you seen from Cash?
Cash has been pretty good.
Could he be a coverage linebacker?
Yes. He got hurt today with, I think Jeff Howe said it was a stinger, which is good news for him because he was down for a little bit. But I go back to when Mayo talked on Friday. He said when he was asked about Cash, how he's athletic, has all the physical stuff, but in the classroom, he's still catching up. So yeah,
that's the concern.
It's good, but then it's also bad. Just because of the depth of the position, I have him on my roster, but I don't know if he's ready to be an every down, impact linebacker.
And I think that's where you get into, because I should let you know, I don't know if I've ever told you this, I don't believe coverage linebackers exist. I think it's a misnomer. I think it's hard to do. You can't live off that really very much. So this could be even more of an example of Duggar, Adrian Phillips, an abundance of secondary guys with a couple of those guys in linebacker roles and nickel and dime packages and stuff. Because the more I think about it, Bentley, Uche, Jennings,
Brandon Copeland, but even he, I don't think he's more of a special teams guy. He really haven't seen him much as a linebacker.
Well, because he isn't. He's kind of a special teamer / backup edge player, not really a off-the-ball coverage linebacker. So I don't That's a skill that I think they are going to be lacking. And as you start to cut, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think will be an impact rookie running back, pass catcher, versatile weapon for the Chiefs. I don't know how the Patriots are going to deal with him. And that may be Duggar and Adrian Phillips and having get linebackers off the field and just go D-line and secondary to some degree. But let's get to a bigger issue because you brought up Cash. Some of the other guys, Cam Newton even might be a little slowed in his how comfortable he is with everything. So Bill Belichick's comment that, and he used the word overwhelmed, they didn't want to overwhelm people when asked about potentially having a scrimmage, my antenna went up. You couldn't scrimmage right now if you wanted to / had to?
I don't really understand it, too. And even last week, it seemed like they were geared up to have a mini scrimmage, so to speak, like 11-on-11. Like, they kind of raised the intensity, and they finished it, and it was like, that's it? Like, that was just, like, basically, like, 20 plays, and then you're done. Like, where is the actual intensity coming? And you think Bills, is he worried that, like, they have so many new guys and young guys that he doesn't want to overwhelm them and they're going too fast? But, like, they play a game in less than 3 weeks.
Right. Because it's weird, because he's kind of bounced back and forth between we have plenty of time to get ready and, well, I don't want to overwhelm them, and we're taking it 3 days at a time, a couple short days, and we'll see where they're ready. And, the way I look at it, a scrimmage, hell, joint practices are scripted and the coaches are on the field and they get what they're – like, a scrimmage is even more so scripted. Today, you know, I asked, couldn't it be like T-ball where the coach is on the field and if he doesn't like where the shortstop is, he moves the damn shortstop?
Right.
Like, it's a teaching
environment. We're not suggesting them go inside the stadium and have, you know, 4 15-minute quarters. Like,
right, and you know, the coaches are in the booth, and we're just calling plays down. If you don't know what to do, you're SOL. Go ahead.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know exactly what he thinks of a scrimmage. And now, I don't know if it would – the Seahawks had their scrimmage canceled or cut short because a guy got knocked out on a play. Yeah. Is he like, well, you know, guys aren't physically ready, and I don't want guys – you know, slow, not running.
But, like, I would also say, like, you could have a scrimmage and maybe, like, you don't tackle the guy fully down.
Right. Yeah, I don't – that was a weird answer today, I thought, from him. It was long, and he kind of talked his way through it and said a lot.
But it was almost like, we're not ready to scrimmage yet.
Yes, that's the way I took it. And I don't think that's a great sign.
Well, like, I was thinking back to training camp practices before. Like, haven't they had a scrimmage, like – I know it's been different because those years you had OTAs and all that, but, like, haven't they had a scrimmage before even a preseason game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I don't really fully understand it.
And it would be a scrimmage I would go into knowing we're going to have a lot of mistakes. We're going to have busted coverages. We're going to have screw-ups. Now, if he thinks it's so bad that people are going to get hurt, like they're so ill-prepared to compete – against each other, I use compete in air quotes. Like, if he's that's surprising, because I feel like you could scrimmage, anybody could scrimmage. Like, it's gonna suck, but I've played football before. I know the basic formations we run. I know our basic call.
They're still doing 11-on-11. It's not like they're not even having any competing at all. So, like,
right.
they've done that. It's basically a similar version.
Yeah, that's why I didn't really understand it. He may not want to scrimmage. Maybe he doesn't want to scrimmage.
Can you really go into week one not having any, like, live action?
There's going to be a lot of questions in week one regardless. Whether you have, you know, a 35-play scrimmage, don't have a 35-play scrimmage, there's going to be a lot of questions and unknown. And maybe he just thinks that the risks of injury / ill-prepared players, whatever, don't.
Look, I also, like, I'm just thinking of a guy like Cam Newton. Doesn't he kind of need those live actions to see how he can do when he runs the ball?
Yeah, but is he even going to get it, or is he going to have a red jersey?
Oh, that's true, too. Right. He would have a red jersey, and he's probably not getting the same thing out of it as he would anyway.
Right. And then you get to, he ran, but that guy might have tackled in him a game. He clearly let up kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know. Like I said, and this isn't necessarily just a Patriots question. It's the unknown of opening weekend is going
to
be crazy.
Another thought, maybe Bill just doesn't want to know his team to know that they're going to scrimmage on Thursday.
That's a possibility. He could drop it on him. Oh, right. By the way, we're scrimmaging today. You got to when you get in the locker room, there'll either be a blue jersey or a white jersey in your locker. It's blue white day.
Right.
Now, so you'd have Cam Newton as the starter on one team and Brian Hoyer as the starter on the other, and Jarrett Stidham doesn't practice, or
if they did it this week, I think that'd be the case. Yep.
Boy.
Or maybe give Stidham one or two series.
I would definitely want to be on Cam Newton's team.
Me too. And, like, all right, we'll get to my roster. Did you have any gripes this week in my 53-man roster projection?
I mean, I certainly thought it was interesting that you had Jake Burt make the team. That jumped out at me.
Well, because newsflash, tight end sucks.
Yeah, but you have three rookie tight ends.
So, do you want me to have Paul Burton on the roster?
I don't even know.
Ryan Izzo?
Who's Paul Burton? There's a guy on the team named Paul Burton.
It's Paul something.
Isn't that Steve Burton's brother?
I think so.
Talking about Quisenberry?
Yeah, it's got a unique story. I would say he's – Belichick talked about today in the conference call. He's more of a fullback type, had a lot of skills that – he actually name-dropped James Devlin. Has some skills like that.
He's a special teamer, developmental.
His name's Paul Butler. Sorry, close enough.
Who the hell's that?
That's the tight end, Paul Butler.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. I don't know.
My point is tight end's not really exactly a stacked position. I'm surprised they still haven't addressed it. Like, there was the rumors that what's his name? Delaney Walker was still out there. Like, he seems like a guy they'd bring in.
I think you would have been better off to go with – you know how the Red Sox rotation of late has been Eovaldi and TBD and then TBD and then TBD? Yeah. You should have gone Asiasi, Keene, TBD. There will be a third tight end. I don't know who it is because he's probably not here yet.
That's probably accurate. But, I mean, right. I had Jake Burt on the roster because to this point he's made plays and, like, he seemed to be in the right places and whatever. I mean, he hasn't been on the field the last 2 days, so I don't know if I'm going on there. I kind of got a chuckle out of that today when he wasn't out in the field. And, you know, my 53-man roster came out today, and he's on out there.
You can't make the club from the tub, especially if you're an undrafted tight end out of freaking Boston College who's a long shot to start.
Correct.
You also, we should get into the kicking situation because you had Justin Rohrwasser just because he was on the roster and Nick Folk was not actually on the roster.
But then after I did it, Nick Folk was on the roster. So I guess I can make an amendment and switch it.
So should I prepare for Justin Rohrwasser to go on IR and Nick Folk to be the kicker?
Either that or on the practice squad, yep.
I don't think he's going to be on the practice. That would surprise me. Because I think – wasn't he the first kicker taken?
Yeah, so why, you're saying another team would grab him?
I think there's a chance. So I think he probably is destined for – he's got a hamstring injury or something and he goes on IR.
Which maybe he does. I don't know because he hasn't – today was only the second time he's kicked in front of us in a week.
And – what was the word I saw being used? He sprayed his kicks all over the field the other day, yesterday?
His kicks, was it Sunday, where he kicked with Jake Bailey and Joe Cardona off on the side field when the other ones were on the other field next to it. He hit some two shanks that were probably worse than I've seen at the high school level. He hit the porta potty. You know the porta potties in like the middle of the two fields? He hit the porta potty.
That's a shitty kick. Ba-dum-bum!
There you go.
So it's piss poor, if you might say it.
I set you up.
So there had been some consideration that he's dealing with something. Have you eliminated that as a possibility, or could that still be a possibility?
Could still be a possibility, but if it really was, then why would he have been on the field kicking today?
Yeah, that's a fair discussion. So, and Nick Folk was good last year.
Yeah, I think he only missed one kick, made all his extra points.
Yeah, like. But
the knock on Folk was that he couldn't make anything beyond 40 yards.
Well, let's spitball a take here. Any chance that Jake Bailey's your long distance kicker? He kicks off.
There's always a chance, but when we see, I don't know, maybe he's doing it and we're not there.
Hmm. What do you think?
It's possible.
And I'm saying, you know, 50, whatever the range, 52 plus or 50 plus, whatever.
I mean, he's been the guy doing the kickoffs. Like, he's still doing that. So, I guess it's always in play. Yeah.
Because I think he was their long field goal kicker at Stanford, too.
Yeah, he's done kicking before.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be, like, the craziest thing in the world. And, I mean, let's be honest. This team has a lot of questions to answer in a lot of areas. Like,
right.
Is Nick Folk your kicker? Is N'Keal Harry your number two receiver? Is Cam Newton your quarterback? Is Bo Allen your second defensive tackle? We fixate on some of these obvious skill, like, who's the right tackle? Is Illuminor the right tackle? Like, we fixate on some of the obvious ones, the skill position ones, where we can kind of monitor it a little more obviously or directly, but is that any bigger a question than some of those other ones?
I mean, you're going to be probably playing in some close games this year. You're going to probably depend on some field goals, especially late in the game.
If it's me, I'm Nick Folk's my kicker. Although clearly Bill invested in Rohrwasser to be the kicker. That's what he does over the years. He takes a guy in the fifth round that he thinks is, whether it's Jake Bailey or Steven Gostkowski or Joe Cardona. Like, he invests in those picks and says, this is my guy. He did that with Rohrwasser. I won't miss him if his name is gone out of, because I've struggled. I feel like I'm swallowing my tongue every time I say his name.
I always look up how to spell it, too, when I'm typing it out.
That's where you got to add it to your dictionary, too.
The other thing is, I don't know, like, I don't care much about this issue at all, but there are some people that do. He's worn long sleeves every practice, and some people are saying it because he doesn't want to draw attention to his tattoo on his arm that he supposedly got removed.
Yeah, my guess is he was told to wear long sleeves so that there's no story there. So there's no photos of it was removed, it wasn't removed, it was altered. Just avoid any distraction, avoid any stories. That said, I don't give a rat's ass about that. I much more care about he can't kick.
Correct.
Just, a bigger issue is you drafted a kicker who, as of right now, based on what you media people have told me, flat out stinks.
But he did go 3 for 3 today.
Okay.
And then he came on, and they did like the rush the field goal team on the field where he and Nick Folk got a chance to kick. He made that kick too. So he was really 4 for 4 on the day, which is positive.
So he's not hurt.
That's why I don't think he is. Because if he was really hurt, they wouldn't have had him done what he did today.
But you can't go from, quote, hitting porta potties to like 3 for 3. Like, I need you to be, you have to be a kicker. It's like cornerback. Like, you have to do the job well almost all the time. Otherwise, you stink.
Well, I know this is like deep in the weeds, like football, whatever, but like just the ball coming off of Nick's foot looks better than Rohrwasser.
Look at you, kicking expert Ryan Hannibal.
Well, just the way the ball is like kicked, like Folk gets more elevation. It just looks normal.
So are we packing Rohrwasser away for the year? Like, he's not an NFL kicker.
Yes, because why else would you bring in Nick Folk now?
Well, we all questioned not having competition to start with.
Right.
And then once he isn't kicking, and when he kicks, it's he's terrible. Shanking it, like, doesn't even look like an NFL kicker. Well, you got a game coming. It would not be surprising if the Patriots and Dolphins played a relatively low-scoring game that came down to a field goal, right?
Correct, yeah.
So you can't mess around. It's not like – you know, we're gonna be a 35 points a game offense. We're gonna blow people out. So he might work through the kinks in September, but we still have faith. No, if you're trying to win, if you're actually trying to win the division, go to the playoffs, win as many games as possible.
You need to win some games, 24-21, you know, whatever, 27-24. You need all these points count.
Yeah. So it's sort of like Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is the quarterback. Everything I'm hearing, again, I don't get to see much because I'm now just a talking head.
Yep.
Nick Folk's the kicker. He's going to be.
Any other training camp questions, thoughts you have? Since you're not down there, anything you want to ask?
Yeah, it's sad. This used to be my favorite time of year.
Well, it's sad for us too because we're not – like, it's sort of awkward. Like, you're like, can I talk to these people? Because you have to, like – they have little markers in the stands where we can sit, like, socially distant. But it's like – can we turn around and talk to you? Like, it's a little strange.
I don't like this coronavirus world we live in.
Yeah, and then you have different tiers, like our friend Mike Giardi's in the 2OA category. So it's like, he can't sit with us. So you're kind of like yelling over a tarp to talk to him.
Yeah, and then what did I hear? Julian Edelman was giving you guys some hard times?
Yeah, they did They did a wide receiver drill in front of the media, and he turned around to the stands. He's like, what are you reporters working on today?
Oh, so nothing much.
No, he likes to chirp. He's been in a much better mood, I would say, the last couple of days. Like, last week he didn't really do much, had that day he was limited, then had the other day where he's on the field but didn't do anything. The last couple of days he's been very active and very chatty, which to me leads me to believe he's feeling better.
That's a good – you just made me think of something. Plus, you're going to have your random question of the week in a minute. But Cam Newton has been the energy guy that's all people have talked about on the practice field. You just talked about Julian Edelman, energy the last few days. Give me the top five, whatever, training camp energy players for the Patriots through a week plus.
Top five?
Yeah. Newton one. Okay.
Edelman two. The McCourty twins, 3.
Okay, 3. McCourty twins.
Can a coach be in there?
Sure.
Ivan Fierce.
Ooh, Ivan.
has been very loud.
Coach often says everything twice for emphasis.
Yep. Another player. David Anders.
Really? Okay, I like it.
David Anders is more of like a leadership, like let's get going. Like okay. not like chirping, but he's assertive, and like it's a weird vibe too, because it's more of like an OTA vibe where there's no fans in the stands, so you can hear everything,
right?
And it's also good because you can kind of hear what the coaches are saying, like is this player getting praised or ripped, or what is this coach saying about this play. Like you can, there's a good sense of like when a play is run, you know who did a good job and who did a bad job.
Which coach has used the most F-bombs?
Nick Caley. No. Cameron Acord.
Interesting. He learned it from Joe Judge. Okay.
Yeah, so that was Nick Caley. Like when he does his media availability, he's very like low key. Like doesn't really like get into much. He's freaking loud, man. Like he gets after it.
Well, and to be fair, he has to probably assert himself with a young position group that lacks talent. He's got to be the alpha dog in that group right now. And he has the opportunity to be the alpha dog because they're all rookies and nobodies and undrafted and blah, blah, blah. Real quick, before we wrap this up, and this is something we can talk about moving forward. I think based on Jed Fish being on our morning show to replace Jarrett Stidham, Jed Fish, my prediction, is going to be a one-and-done coach with the Patriots, because that is very non-traditional, that a first-year coach, I don't care who he is, like Brett Bielema wasn't doing all these radio interviews or whatever. Jed Fish has a great resume. He's been well-respected, done a lot. I wonder if he is, you know, under some agreement. Listen, I'm not going to be one of those behind-the-scenes say-nothing coaches. I'm here to rebuild my resume. I want to be a major college football head coach within a year.
But his resume wasn't really like – tarnished. Like he came from McVay.
But that's my point. He wants a job. So he comes from McVay. A couple years of McVay, it's not working. I didn't get the offers I wanted. Do a year with Cam Newton, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels. Listen, don't expect me to just be Brett Bielema that no one's ever going to talk to me. I'm behind the scenes, or Mike Lombardi, or one of these guys. I am here to use it as a stepping stone to be a head coach somewhere in the very near future.
It's not a bad thought. I mean, it seems like that he, Bill, and Josh have kind of had a mutual respect thing for a while now. And, like, they would probably be open to that, just having
those. Otherwise, like, why would they offer up a quarterback's coach, a position coach, to fulfill a media obligation? Like, I understand, like, coordinators have to talk and then assistants have to be available a certain amount. They offered up this guy, who, by the way, has been a sneaky story. Like, enough people, like we wrote about it multiple times, have talked about Jed Fish, what he could bring to the offense, the new mobile offense, college-like offense. And Bill usually tries to squash attention and stories at that level. And he's available. Like, it feels a little weird to me.
As always the case down there, whenever they do something, you kind of always know there's a reason behind it.
There's a reason behind it, especially when it's outside sort of the norm.
Right.
Like, so, I would think Jed Fish is the coaching version of Cam Newton. He should be, like, held back, kind of quiet. Like, we don't want to promote the story of Jed Fish, just like we don't want to promote the story of Cam Newton. And yet, Jed Fish was on the radio this morning.
So you're saying, like, Josh McDaniels would have made more sense for that spot?
Oh, easily. Way more sense. Way more sense.
See, I wonder where that came from.
I don't know. I can't answer every question. I just, you know, when things smell a little funky or they seem worth noting, I note them.
Okay.
Okay, before we go, what's my random question of the week?
It's not totally like random because I didn't really think of anything, so it's come along quick here.
I do this every week. Why do you not think of anything?
I got to start writing them down because there are some times that something happens and I think of it, but then I forget it, kind of like you.
Okay.
So it came up today that the Dolphins are allowing whatever 11,000 fans to their first game. Would you attend an NFL game as a fan this year?
No.
I wouldn't
either. I think it's going to suck. I think it's going to be awkward. I read a long story on The Athletic about the Chiefs had a practice open to 2,000,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, Saturday or something, yeah.
Yeah, and it was sort of a test run at what they want to do. I think they want 22,000 for the regular season. They have another one in between. I think they're going to have another joint practice. I mean, a practice where they're going to ramp it up a little more. But And the athletic writer, first of all, he was kind of being a narc. He was kind of like tattling on any fan that took their mask off or did this or did that. He
was kind of being a narc. Was in the stands?
Oh, I don't know if he had like binoculars, but he was like calling out. There was a fan in section 110 who took his mask off for an extended period of time, disregarding, you know, protocol, whatever. He was kind of douchey. I didn't care for the story. But I personally think it's going to be weird. I don't think it's going to be a good experience. You're going to be spread out. There's not going to be a buzz. You're going to be asked to make sure you keep your mask on. You have to take your mask off to drink your beer or eat your hot dog.
Right.
Food. I don't know if you're getting food or you're ordering it on your phone and they deliver it.
Well, there's also, like, there's no tailgating, supposedly. Like, the whole experience is just not going to be the same.
And the only way I think I honestly would go is if it was free. If you expect me to pay, like, $175 for these tickets and then jump through all these hoops, get here at a certain time, leave when you tell me to leave, I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's fun.
You think it's fair that the league is leaving it up to the teams, not making, like, a standardized thing? Because, like, there's some disadvantages.
I don't really think it's going to be that big of – I think it's going to be so bad and awkward that you're not
going to have – having it at all?
Nope. You're not – like, Arrowhead Stadium's the loudest place on earth or the loudest stadium on earth or whatever.
Right.
Like, now there's going to be 22,000 spread out, so it's going to be at, like, quarter capacity spread out.
Masks.
Masks. Awkwardness, people not really knowing what they can do. Like, can I scream or am I spitting when I scream? Am I not allowed? Like,
right.
I think it's good. I think awkward is going to be the word about attending NFL games in person this year. I think it's going to be awkward for the fans. I think it's going to be awkward for the players because I keep saying this. I think there's going to be a better chance where, because at a real game, there's so much like buzz that you don't hear anything. You hear everything, but nothing.
Right.
I think this could be like that. I always keep pointing to it, the Tampa Rays. There's a guy that always seems to end up on the microphone of the, like, the broadcast because, like, it's so quiet.
Right.
I think players are going to hear individual fans, individual hecklers. Like, awkward. I think it's going to be very, very awkward, and I'd rather save my money and stay home. The only way I would go is if they said, here, the free tickets, go, see what it's like. Other than that, nope, no thank you. Wouldn't do it.
The other thing relating to the Patriots without fans in the stands, there is talk that the media could be in the stands during the games.
All season?
I think just at the beginning, like when the weather is nice. There's nothing's been decided, but the potential is there for some of the media to be in the stands.
I'd rather be on my couch.
Not in the press box?
I mean, if the press box, but I don't even know the, I'd be in the press box. But if it's an issue, I think I'd rather be on my couch. I think the stands would be, and they're going to build desks like the Super Bowl where there'll be an auxiliary press?
I don't know how it's all going to work, but there's been some people that are pushing to get some media in the stands.
I can watch from home. I'm fine.
Because they would accommodate more people in addition to the press box.
What if it rains?
Tough luck.
Yeah, no thank you. That's a terrible idea. Even your dog didn't like the idea.
No. All right, we doing another one this week? Maybe, maybe not.
Sure, we'll try to do one later in the week. Let's keep people on their toes. Yeah, tune in. Keep going to Off Day Pod on Twitter.
Right.
Subscribe. You might be happy later in the week. One might just pop up on your phone.
But if anyone wants to know, you'll be on the air, what, Tuesday? Every day this week besides Thursday?
Yes, that is correct. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. I was on today.
There you go. All right, we'll talk to you later in the week.
Peace out.
See you.